The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Our tech team ensure your broadband runs at its optimum speed. It's all part of the service.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Monday morning, the first thanks beat of February. That's right, 2021. We got there, lads. Well done. Well done, one. Well done, all. It is going to just get better and brighter and more beautiful with every day that goes on. So start your day, start your week, start it all with a positive vibe because I think we're on the march now and beautiful, lovely stretch in the morning, stretch in the evening. And the bird song is delightful, so we will be accentuating the positive and marching forth and trying to do it all together in a good way. Because it's St. Bridget's Day today as well, of course, the 1st of Feb. It's a month I don't like saying because I don't like the word February. I say this every year because it just feels wrong. I always say February, and then does it February. I don't like it. It's like that thing in 30 Rock, the rural juror. I don't like it. But anyway, I might just cut it down to the 1st of Feb, the Feb 4. I think we'll go for that for the moment. Either way, it's a good news day. And the Irish Examiner telling us this morning that landmarks are being illuminated to promote a campaign to make St. Bridget's Day a national holiday. Here we go. And there was talk of that on Morning Ireland this morning as well. And they were saying, you know, between January the 1st, tough fall month, and March 17th, maybe there's room for another little national holiday. And if there is to be one, why not the beginning of spring? Well, that's debatable, of course, but a sort of a reboot of the year in some respects. But anyway, back to the landmarks there. Venues include Galway City Museum, St. Bridget's Cathedral in Kildare, Sean Ross Abbey in Roscrea, and Athlone Castle and Belvedere House in West Meath. And they're illuminating landmarks across Ireland in honour of mother and baby home survivors, which is an admirable thing to do. And with the Bridget's Day, the Her Story light show, as opposed to history, obviously, is calling on the Irish public and the country's diaspora to sign a petition to make St. Bridget's Day a national holiday. The Female, they say, Perspective History Initiative, set up to highlight the role of women down through the ages from the female perspective, wants St. Bridget to have the same status as St. Patrick. Seems reasonable to me. Now Manon Aherin, they say, are reclaiming our sovereignty, sexuality and spirituality. Organisers have asked the public to nominate their heroines and see them honoured in illuminations on landmark buildings, which is a good thing to do. So I don't know how much traction that campaign will get, but it makes sense to me and I'd be up for it. There's a nice story. I met this dog on my walk a few months ago and I still have the photograph and I posted it on Instagram. Too much to the delight of the dog lovers of Ireland, who were obviously bored off their faces at the weekend looking at their phones, because it got a lovely response. And it's this dog called Rory. He's an Irish red setter. Do you know how beautiful red setters are when their coats are gleaming and their big goofy tongue is hanging out of the side of their mouth and the big long face looking at you expectantly? And because we had a red setter for years and years. And the most common comment that came back was, you're the cut of each other, which I wasn't sure how to take that, but I'm going to, you know, they say that owners and dogs, I said, you've got to get one. And unfortunately, I have no garden to speak of, so I don't think it'd be fair to take a big dog like that into my life. And I don't think it'd be fair to take, I could barely look after myself, because imagine a dog. But it was such a gorgeous dog, and people seem to have lovely memories of their own red setters, particularly. It kind of got them thinking about, oh, we had one for years. My neighbour had one. My auntie had one. Gorgeous dog. Anyway, Rory's owners got on to me via Rory himself. He's on holidays in Baltimore. So I just wanted to wish him well. And then he has his own Instagram account. He got back on to me again himself to say, listen, I'm available to come on the Late Late Show and discuss my life story with you at some stage. So I thought that sounds good. To interview, but there were two people, more importantly for the two people in a life and death situation, that got caught up in an avalanche in Switzerland, you see, and they got buried in the snow, and the only way that the rescuers were able to realise where they were was because the dog that was with them barked and barked and barked, two dogs actually, kept barking until the rescue people arrived in Swiss Air Ambulance, heard the barking and drew the attention to themselves by barking loudly. And then the snow guys came along and sure enough dug them out after about 20 minutes, and they were alive and well, which is good news. So this is when the dogs, you know, they have these beautiful roles in life. Do they not? Who let the dog out? Everyone. Thank God, because it saved them. I was watching a film yesterday called The Dig, which stars Ralph Fiennes and Carey Mulligan, and a small role by great Irish actor Peter MacDonald. Kudos. And it's a fine film. It's a film that was built for a wet Sunday afternoon. Does that make sense? And it's about an archaeological dig, which you think, God, that couldn't be that interesting. But actually, it's much more meaningful than that and quite beautiful. Even Lily Thomas is good in it, in her role as a kind of nerdy archaeologist. I thought she was quite a touching part she had to play. It's a good, fine film. I don't know if it'd be in the top 10 of the year, but it's definitely nice and easy. But it evolves at one point, without trying to give too much away, someone getting buried under a lot of muck, and it's quite terrifying. It's done very well, and it's that sense of suffocation. You go, oh, God, I couldn't bear it, that nightmare moment. But anyway, I'll say nothing more other than it's called The Dig and it's worth a look. Good morning, says Bernadette. I went to St. Bridget's Primary School in Finglas and we always got this day off. Well, why don't you treat yourself to a day off today then? If you're feeling like that, do that if you haven't got one already. The Pope was tweeting. I love his Twitter handle is at Pontifex. Nice little Latin twist there for Pope Francis. Grandparents, he says, are the uniting link between generations to transmit the young to the young the experience of life and faith. Therefore, I have decided to institute the World Day of Grandparents and the Elderly, which will be held annually on the fourth Sunday of July. There you go. Grandparents of Ireland, be aware that you have your own day to where you should be wined, dined and treated like kings and queens, as you should be anyway, but certainly on the last Sunday of July, extra special treats all around. How about that? The PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, have been calling for, they're starting to debate on speciesism. You know what that is? Speciesism, it would appear to be if making comments that is offensive, might be offensive or unkind to about animals. It warned using words like chicken to describe a coward was an anti-animal slur. So we can't say, don't be such a big chicken. Well, hang on, you might just hurt that chicken's feeling, and that wouldn't be fair. And they have urged followers to reject supremacist language that degrades animals by applying negative human traits to certain species. And they say an animal is an insult, as an insult, reinforces the myth that humans are superior to other animals and therefore justified in violating them. So the animal rights organization said people should say snitch instead of rat. You're a rat. You're a snitch. So it's one or the other. You say lazy instead of sloth. And instead of calling somebody a pig, which you shouldn't anyway, say repulsive. There's probably no harm in that. And perpetuating the idea that animals are sly, dirty or heartless desensitizes the public and normalizes violence against other animals. Good Lord. Feb is fab, says John in the UK. I'm totally with you on this, though. It should be February, not February. That are. Not good. I agree with you. Borrowing books. I like this from the author Ronan Heshin, whose novel Leonard and Hungry Paul is the Dublin City Council One Dublin One Book. Sorry, beating myself there for 2021. He tweeted a fine picture of himself in a very nice jacket, saying, "My thanks to the library users of Ireland and the UK with my public lending right money," which he obviously gets a little cut. He says, "I treated myself to this nice new corduroy jacket, and a very fine jacket it is too, which I shall forever call my library jacket." Good name. "I even had enough to fork out the extra £8 for a monogrammed inner pocket." The best. No one can wear that like you. Good on you. Congratulations. There are libraries apparently in Los Angeles that let children read to pay off their late fees. Isn't that clever? Each hour a child spends reading at a county-run libraries, they knock off $5 from their account, and then the library staff say at least 100 kids every week read away their debt, and 3,500 suspended accounts were cleared during the first 6 months of the programme. It's a very, very odd but lovely way to keep them going and keep them reading. Austin O'Carroll, wonderful GP, was tweeting to say, "To those who lost family and believe they may have been the person who brought home the COVID infection, Firstly, sincere sympathy. Secondly, please do not blame yourself. There is no fault in visiting loved ones. It's just the nature of a virus to exploit our desire to be with those we love. And that is just a very thoughtful reflection in case people are feeling a little bit down the dumps this morning. One of the, if you haven't seen this film, Enchanted, with Amy Adams, it's ostensibly a kid's film, but it's much more smart. It's much cleverer than it allows itself believe it is. And it is, it's probably widely valued. If you treat yourself with the kids, if you like watch, sometimes watching a film with the kids is torture because the films are so bad. But sometimes, like Shrek or The Muppets, the film's so good that you'll all get stuck into this. So treat yourself to Enchanted. It's called Enchanted. It's about, what year is it? 2007. And it's aged very well because I watched it not too long ago again. And it's just a wonderful film. It's kind of, there's great heart in it and great humour and great soul. Anyway, here's what happens today. They're announcing Walt Disney have issued a major casting call for Irish talent because they're planning a sequel of Enchanted called Disenchanted, which I like itself in its own way. And that's due to start shooting this spring or summer, depending on how this all works out. And they're looking for technically trained dancers for the update. This is great. And they'll have Amy Adams, Patrick Dempsey will both be in it. And hopefully filming over here, that'll be great. Rehearsals due to start. I'm on the new Disney film in March. So jobsalert.ie. If you can sing and dance and you think you could fancy a little role in that film, that would be a very nice thing indeed. Now, who has passed away? The Hilton Valentine, the guitarist of The Animals. The Animals were one of those bands that kind of got a lot of noise around bigger bands, I suppose, in some ways, but they had some sound. And Hilton Valentine created one of the most famous opening riffs in 1960s pop music. One of the most famous, I'm not going to play the song, I'm just going to play one of the most famous openings. He created this sound. Isn't that just something? I mean, that is so distinctive and of its time. And of course, they had some great hits along the lines of, we gotta get out of this place. Co-founded The Animals in Newcastle in 1963 with singer Eric Burdon and bassist Chaz Chandler and organist Alan Price and drummer John Steele. And they had loads and loads of hits. And he went, the singer, Eric Burdon, was in an Instagram saying, the opening opus of Rising Sun will never sound the same. You didn't just play it, you lived it. We had great times together. Geordie Ladd from the North Shields to the entire world, rock in peace. And that is Hilton Valentine, who passed away over the weekend. So at 17 minutes past nine. Yeah, I think we'll start here. Yeah, great. Just love that sound. It's The Animals, and Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood at 9:19. Good morning, Ryan. Good morning. I had a great laugh at the weekend. Go on. I spotted a cactus outside a Centra, and you were the first person I thought of after your funny reference to it last week. I love February because it's my birthday month, and I'm the same age as yourself, so have a great day. Hey, you and me both. Congratulations. Just binge-watched It's a Sin after hearing you talk about it last week on the radio. What a roller coaster of emotions. I loved the characters and I sobbed at the ending. Thanks for talking about it. Would never have known about it otherwise. That's the drama about AIDS in the UK that I've been talking about. And we have a guest coming up called Ruth Coker Burks, whose story from Arkansas in the United States about the early days of the AIDS epidemic is just knockout, and you need to listen to what she has to say, because I think she'd be telling the story of a lot of people this morning. We got some seriously thoughtful emails in over the weekend on this. Annie got in touch to say, I've just finished watching It's a Sin. It was wonderful, it was moving, and it brings back so many memories of that time as I lost friends and colleagues to AIDS in the early 80s. I worked for various airlines and had the pleasure of meeting so many beautiful, kind and funny men who happened to be gay. I'm now the mother of a beautiful child who happens to be gay. Thank God he was born in a much more tolerant time. Not that it would have been an issue for myself or my husband, as we should love our children unconditionally. Sadly, as far as we have come in this world, it's still a long way to go. And I'm shocked and saddened to hear from my son of the young LGBTQ plus couple who did not want to return to hostile homes during lockdown where parents didn't know or want to know who their child really is. So I look forward to the day, says Annie, and maybe not in my lifetime, but when we can all live and let live and accept that love is love. Well said. Very, very well said indeed. And yeah, there was a lovely one. I have here an email that came in from Mary saying back in 1986, while in First Arts in NUIG, in Galway, I met a wonderful friend named Liam. And for 2 years, we were inseparable. But he always said that he had a terrible secret that would change my attitude to him. And as time went on, I couldn't imagine what would ever turn me against this beautiful man. And eventually, he confided in me and told me that he was gay. We were so close by then that it didn't change how I felt about him. He felt such horror and shame, though, at his sexuality that it took him years to accept himself. Liam dropped out of college. He went to London. He met an older man and had a relationship. And this man was HIV positive and passed it on to my friend. And at 24, he was given 6 months to live. And what followed was a terrible half-life between life and death, as Liam tried all the available treatments. He never had another relationship or pursued a career or had any real quality of life, dreading always a terrible death. And he lost his battle 2 years ago, dying at 51. And I'm telling you this story because we stayed friends all through the years, acutely aware that every time we met, it could be the last. He was the best friend that I will ever have. Despite his own sufferings, he was always there for me in a special way, helping me cope with personal tragedies and life in general. He was bright, he was intelligent and wickedly funny. And through his experience, I had a powerful insight into the terrible reality that was living with HIV and all the worry that went with the life sentence it was. And Liam taught me that you only need one good friend, and it was a valuable life lesson. And things have changed. There should be no judgment towards anyone in life and no need for shame in anyone. People's humanity should be what counts. And listening to Peter and other people on your show this week and has moved me, and I thought that my friend should be honoured too. The experience of knowing him made me a better person. That is testament to the great human being that he was. And I will miss him for the rest of my days. And regards from Mary. That, thank you for that, by the way. It's lovely. And I'm glad you mentioned and remembered your friend to all of us today. And we got quite a number of messages in along those lines. And they were very touching indeed. So we'll talk about this a little further, as I say, with our guest after this.
The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1.
13 minutes to maybe 12 minutes to 10 at this point. What an amazing woman. Everyone could take a leaf out of her. But a lot of respect for our guest this morning. Wonderful interviewee. She is inspirational. And thank you to her, says Sarah. Memory came back to me listening to the show this morning, says Breed. I was 18, heading to London in 1986 to go nursing. I was told by an uncle of mine to drink from bottles only when out socially because I'd get AIDS from the glass. There was lots of myths around it. I remember it well at the time myself. It was a scary time, as you say. The unknown and ignorance is an awful thing. This woman is amazing. If she could talk to my sisters and get them to understand what being gay means in 2021 in Ireland, they have disowned their own sister. And that is not an easy time. And it's still a problem, obviously, in parts of the island and the world. Just tuned in at this moment is an angel, incredible human being. Yeah, and that's just the general gist of what's come in here. Mary in Cork says, what a kind woman. I've always believed that kindness must be taught, but sometimes people are just born carers. It's such a consolation to know people like her exist, and there are blessings to her, which is good. And this is very welcome, says Elizabeth. There was a problem, terrible problem, in schools and early years centres back then. All were afraid to touch the children of AIDS patients in case they got infected. And there were all sorts of instructions regarding how this child should be approached. And we know better now, and things are very hopeful, which is the truth. And on St. Bridget's Day, could you please wish our beautiful daughter, yes, a happy St. Bridget's Day. She's working in Dubai. Her name is Bridget, of course. She works for Emirates Airlines, and we miss her so much. And her wonderful husband, Connor, too. Thank you from Bridget's parents, Bruce and Margaret from Enniskerry. It's a pleasure to say hello to you over there. And to all those, says Pat, oh, this is Comedy Corner alert. To all those who received a book from me as a Christmas present, they're due back at the library today. Very good. David Bowie. Let's dance, Sam. Thanks for all the sympathy on the front of not being able to say February properly. I don't like it. I don't like it. I'm going to just have to say it's the second month of the year. So, you know, somebody's saying you should try Fiora, the Irish version of it, which is worth a punt. But I think I'll just go with Feb. It suits me. Did you see that doc last night on the Bee Gees? You know, I'm just going to abbreviate stuff and pretend it's a thing, you know. Now, messages. Found a library book recently on Nigeria that my son took out for a project at home due back on the 8th of February. There it is again. 2000. I wonder what the fine will be like. I tried to return it to the library, but unfortunately it was closed. Didn't they stop fining people? They kind of said they're going to give up fining people at some stage. So hopefully you'll be okay. More text coming in. We'll get to those in a moment, but I need to take a quick break. Four minutes to 10 o'clock. As a gay man, text says, I was inspired greatly by your interview with Ruth this morning, a living saint. Having walked away from the front line of the Catholic Church after 30 years of dedicated service, my decision has been more than vindicated by encountering genuinely Christian people within the LGBT community. Another, not on that subject, says, I'm trying to work here and my 10-year-old son is doing an hilarious dance to David Bowie, and it has me in stitches. Can you please say hello to Dahi Bulger? Of course I can. Dahi, good man. Keep dancing. Keep dancing to David Bowie. Go into his back catalogue there. Find him singing with Mick Jagger, dancing in the street. Watch their video. You'll be roaring laughing. Borrow a shirt from the press somewhere and do it again. The shirt has to be about 10 sizes too big for you, because that's what they were wearing when they were doing dancing for that for Live Aid. And here's another young fella. Fiona in Porterstown in Meath, West Meath, I should say, sent me a very amusing picture. So she said, my son Dermot is 7 and he loves watching the birds feeding every morning. Man after my own heart. And we put out seeds and nuts and it's a hive activity and it's great. So Dermot wanted to see if he could get a robin to land on him. Very few people, I've never managed it myself, to put the love out and in the hope that a robin will come and take the seed from the hand, as it were. And anyway, we told him, you have to be patient. So he layered up, and sure enough, I'm looking at him, he's got a fleece and he's got some mad big coat on him and a hat. Anyway, he's layered up and he went out to sit on the step. And we put a little bunch of seed on either side of him, as you can see, as he's sitting on the step. And as you can see, what happened? He's slumped. He actually was waiting so long, he's slumped over asleep. And the birds just watched him from afar. He's determined to try it again. And that is me, yes, and his sister, Maeve, and Sarah, laughing. They're right there. They're pictured looking through at the sun, roaring laughing. And Maeve was on I Know Stuff a few weeks ago. Hi, Maeve. And anyway, just to give you a laugh, here's the picture. And thank you. So, well, look, be sure to send the picture of when he gets the robin landing on him. God bless his persistence. I mean, that's probably how David Attenborough spent a lot of his life when he was out filming, just waiting and waiting for the right moment. Now, never mind February, says Jaron. Stop making me say February in your text, please. Thank you. I'm having the full Basil Vault, you know. I find myself basiling a lot since COVID. It's become a verb in my life, to basil. One is basiling. And I basil a lot. It's things like, last week's basiling was every time I was heading towards the traffic light, it went amber and then red. Every traffic light I went to, I couldn't believe it. I said, this is conspiracy. Somebody like behind me with a button going, get him again. And that's bad. That's to basil. It's when you're trying to, just things are, little things are. And now Larry David's doing it with Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's just a rebooted idea of the little things in life that are utterly irrelevant and yet they kind of grate on the nerves. Like trying to say February. Try being a nurse and that cannot say thyroid. I have to take a run up to it every time. Yeah, that's a good description actually of how you get at that. And just bought Ruth's book online. Thanks for having her on the show, says Trish in Goa. Good. I hope it's of some interest and use to you. So that's good. And we better leave it there because I have to go. In the meantime, all your emails. We got some great emails already in today to ryan@rte.ie. Thank you for that and for your text. Claire Byrne standing by. Stay tuned to her. And we'll see you tomorrow between 9 and 10. Have a lovely day.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.